This is the voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran.
This is the voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran's broadcasting. The voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran is broadcast daily via the internet address www.parstoday.com/en. You can also listen to the voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran on Hotbird, Intelsat 902, and Eutelsat satellite, as well as via internet. You can also listen to IRIB English Radio via your mobile phone. Please refer to our website for more details.
And now we enlighten you with Ayah 260 to 263 of Surah Baqarah, recited by Shahriyar Parhizgar.
Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. وَإِذْ قَالَ إِبْرَاهِيمُ رَبِّ أَرِنِي كَيْفَ تُحْيِي الْمَوْتَى قَالَ أَوَلَمْ تُؤْمِنْ قَالَ بَلَى وَلَكِنْ لِيَطْمَئِنَّ قَلْبِي قال فخذ أربعة من الطير فصرهن إليك ثم اجعل على كل جبل منهن جزءا ثم ادعهن يأتينك سعيا واعلم أن الله عزيز حكيم مثل الذين ينفقون أموالهم في سبيل الله كمثل حبة أنبتت سبع سنابل في كل سنبلة 100 حبة والله يضاعف لمن يشاء والله واسع عليم الذين ينفقون أموالهم في سبيل الله ثم لا يتبعون ما أنفقوا منا ولا أذى لهم أجرهم عند ربهم لهم أجرهم عند ربهم ولا خوف عليهم ولا هم يحزنون قول معروف ومغفرة خير من صدقة يتبعها أذى والله غني حليم.
In the name of Allah, and when Abraham said, My Lord, show me how you revive the dead, he said, Do you not believe? He said, Yes, indeed, but in order that my heart may be at rest. He said, Take four of the birds, then cut them into pieces, and place a part of them on every mountain. Then call them, they will come to you, hastening, and know that Allah is Almighty and All-Wise. Those who spend their wealth in the way of Allah, and then do not follow what they have spent with reproaches and affronts, they shall have their reward near their Lord, and they will have no fear, nor will they grieve. An honorable word with pardon is better than a charity followed by affront, and Allah is all-sufficient, most forbearing.
This is the voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran broadcasting. The voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran is broadcast daily for listeners across the globe. The voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran can be heard by the internet, FM, and satellites. You can also listen to the voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran on IranSat or BAT 5. And Intelsat 39 and via the internet. Our internet address is iranradio.ir. And now you can listen to Arabi English Radio via your mobile phone. Please refer to our website for the details. Please send your correspondence to the English program, PO Box number 19395 6767 Tehran, Islamic Republic of Iran, or email us to englishradio@irib.ir. We would be very pleased to have your comments about our audio quality and other means. Thank you.
Doing a song from Ontario, Canada.
Now back to our story.
What is it in there?
We will be talking about this.
Let me bring in Leo Sazdi. He's a professor of international.
The Spotlight.
Welcome, everyone. Now, the first phase of a three-phase Gaza ceasefire is over, and Palestinian resistance movement Hamas and the Israeli regime are supposed to be entering a second phase of that deal, which would bring us one step closer to a permanent ceasefire, the complete Israeli withdrawal from Gaza, and start of reconstruction, among other factors. Instead, the Zionist entity has made no effort to continue the ceasefire and has, in fact, closed all humanitarian assistance on over 2 million Palestinians. And one of the most vocal and active supporters of the Palestinian people, the people of Yemen, have quickly moved to give the Zionist entity 4 days to reopen humanitarian corridors for the entry of aid into Gaza, or they will initiate maritime operations against Israeli-linked vessels in the Red Sea. Yemen's Ansarullah movement has also vowed to restart military operations against the Zionist entity if it reneges on the ceasefire and resumes its campaign of genocide against Palestinians in Gaza. Yemen's ultimatum to the Zionists and U.S. war machine is the topic of today's Spotlight program. Now, a quick report.
the leader of Yemen's Ansar Allah movement, Sayyid Abdel Malik al-Houthi, has issued a decisive ultimatum, giving Israel 4 days to lift the blockade on Gaza or face severe repercussions.
We announce to the whole world that we will give the mediators a deadline of 4 days. If humanitarian aid does not enter the Gaza Strip, we will resume our naval operations against the Israeli enemy. We will meet the blockade with a blockade.
In support of this announcement, hundreds of Yemenis took to the streets to celebrate, expressing solidarity with Palestine.
We came out in this blessed night on Ramadan to say that we support the declaration of our commander and that we will never retreat. We support all options, and we tell the Israeli enemy and its allies that the threats issued by our commander are not like the threats by Trump used only to measure what the reaction will be. Our threats are serious. You will see them manifest into action.
We spoke with a military expert to shed some light on how exactly the resumption of the blockade against Israel will look like in the days ahead.
Our government has warned previously that our naval operations are linked to the blockade on Gaza. If humanitarian aid is allowed to enter Gaza, our naval blockade will be lifted. But because the blockade on Gaza has returned, no doubt in the coming days our naval operations will resume if the mediators fail to find a solution to these violations of the ceasefire agreement.
As tensions rise, the region braces for the consequences of Israel's next move, which the Trump administration has made very clear it will support every step of the way. The ongoing blockade on Gaza will compel Yemen to resume its naval blockade on Israeli shipments. Given the escalating situation in the region, many experts believe that the U.S. and Israel will launch a full-scale war on Yemen, a war that Yemen has been preparing for. Yusuf Maudi, Sana'a.
This is The Spotlight. The Spotlight takes an in-depth look at the headlines, featuring interviews with well-known guests from diverse backgrounds to get to the bottom of the story. You can listen to The Spotlight every day on IRIB English Radio.
And now for your guests. Join us, we have Mr. Hussein Abu Khaiti, activist and political commentator from the Yemeni capital, Sana'a. And Mr. Saeb Shaath, author and West Asia expert, joining us from Belfast. Gentlemen, hello, and I'd like to welcome you both to our Spotlight program here on Press TV. Hussein, we're going to start with you there in the Yemeni capital, Sana'a. Tell us what Abdel Malik al-Houthi, leader of Yemen's Ansar Allah movement, has now vowed to do in 4 days' time. And we speak of Yemeni naval operations in the high seas. For our viewers that might not be privy to the over 15 months of support we saw from the Yemenis for Palestinians in Gaza, what do they consist of?
It was clear from the speech of Sayyid Abdel Malik yesterday that he's given the Zionist state of Israel and all the mediator, like the Qataris, the Egyptian, to have pressure on Israel to lift the blockade against Gaza. We know that Yemeni has stopped its operation, especially in the Red Sea, since they started to support the Palestinian people and to support the people in Gaza. They have started an operation in the Red Sea, which has begun to target Israeli owned ships, and the second stage was actually to target Israeli linked ship, and but the third stage was to target Israeli port and as well to target any shipping company, even if it was not linked to Israel. But as long as any of its ships goes to any port of Israel, this means that that shipping company, it doesn't matter what country it belongs to, it will be blocked from entering the Red Sea or using the Red Sea. And we have seen that Yemeni have targeted hundreds of ships. They have sunk two ships, and they have targeted as well the United States Navy in the Red Sea, which have tried to prevent the Yemeni attack, and Yemeni demand was one demand and was clear: to stop the blockade against Gaza, to lift the blockade, to allow food and medicine to enter, and to have a ceasefire, and to stop killing Palestinian women and children, and to stop bombing Gaza. And this actually, when Israeli has accepted the truce between them and Hamas, Yemeni has immediately stopped order attack against Israel. But seems to be now that Israel, with the support from Trump administration, they are trying now not to go into the second stage of the truce, but they actually try now to extend the first stage, and as well not to allow the humanitarian aid and food and medicine to enter Gaza. They want to use this humanitarian aid as a weapons, and they want to have pressure on the Palestinian people to release all the Zionist prisoners of war. And it's actually so silly that what you think that you couldn't get your prisoners by war. Do you think that this using the humanitarian aid will succeed and will force the Palestinian to release the prisoner? I don't think this will happen, and that's why Yemeni has sent a clear message that 4 days, and now it's now 72 hours till Yemeni will launch. I believe it will be different than before. It could be a full scale of attack, not only against Israeli-linked ship or own ship, but as well against any company that have any ties or have any ships that goes toward Israel. Maybe as well Yemeni could form a blockade against countries like the United States and UK, and as well Germany in the Red Sea, against all their battleship and as well against their commercial ship. And I believe that Yemeni could expand their attack to target Israeli port in the Mediterranean Sea. And I believe that this escalation, as Sayed Abdul Malik have said a few weeks ago, that any escalation from the Zionist state, this means that Yemeni will have a new and a different type of escalation. And I believe it will be a full scale of attack against the Zionist state of Israel, especially against their port in the Mediterranean Sea.
Thank you, Hussein, for your initial comments there. And Mr. Saeb Shath, thank you for your patience and welcome to our program here. Sir, now, this small resistance group out of Yemen, your initial thoughts on this big ultimatum it's making against the biggest, the Zionist U.S. war machine that we've seen, as well as the 15 months of support that it's given Palestinians throughout this onslaught and genocide in Gaza.
Hello to you and to your guests and your audience. Yemen now is at the forefront of the axis of resistance in support of Gaza after Hezbollah agreed to the ceasefire agreement in Lebanon. And the Yemenis are sending a clear message in here. Any additional American Zionist escalation, they say, against Gaza, it will reach the Yemeni shores and it will impact the global economy. It's this resistance movement in Yemen, it's proved itself. It can impact the whole international trade while it is impacting the genocide, I mean, going on in Gaza. And the Yemeni people were adhering to the Hague when the International Court of Justice found genocide plausible in Gaza. The Yemenis were adhering to what the Hague demanded from countries and non-state actors to do all what they can to stop this genocide. So the Yemeni message in here has become clearer every day since then. Either stop the Israeli aggression on Gaza or the world will face an economic crisis starting from the Strait of Bab el-Mandeb. There is over even 12% of the volume of global trade passes through the Strait of Bab el-Mandeb. Energy supplies, goods flowing to the worldwide, especially Europe, Asia, and USA. It all goes through the Bab el-Mandeb. Closing Bab el-Mandeb temporary even means skyrocketing prices for oil, gas, and even the shipping costs will rocket as well, since the ships have to tour around South Africa to go to Europe or anywhere. So this is will lead to unprecedented global wave of inflation at a moment which is the global economy itself is fragile. So the Yemeni forces in the Red Sea and the Bab el-Mandeb and even they were a great challenge brought to the U.S. Navy and its allies. Taking that in a short, if we a few days ago witnessed what the Yemeni done when they shot the MQ-9, that says alone the capabilities of Yemenis, not just in Bab al-Mandab, as my colleague was saying, when they reached for over 15 months when they were engaging the Zionist entity, they reached the heart of the fortress of all securities in the Western world, is Tel Aviv. And they targeted sensitive targets in there. So Yemen is not a small player. It's proved itself hard against the American Navy in that region. And we saw the American aircraft pulling out of the area in front of the Yemeni forces.
Thank you, Mr. Shot there. And Hussein, I actually want to put Mr. Saib Shot's comments to you as far as the what he mentioned about the economic crisis in the Yemenis' capacity to inflict. Bloomberg, an economic news outlet, I don't know if you read the article, said the cost of transporting goods due to Yemeni anti-Israel operations on the high seas has pushed up the cost over the 15-month campaign of genocide of a container accessing the Red Sea route from an average of $1,660 a container to over $6,000 a container, Hussein. It seems Yemen, even having a so-called U.S.-UK coalition to protect Israeli-linked vessels, has been winning this campaign in the high seas, hasn't it?
Yeah, I mean, this is exactly what has been since Yemeni have started its attack in the Red Sea to support the Palestinian and to form a blockade against Israel. This actually will affect and inflict the entire economy. And we know that most of the countries that will be affected by those type of attack is countries that's actually directly involved in the war with the Israeli regime, like United Kingdom, Germany, France, and other European countries. They are the one who actually kind of depend on the Red Sea. That's why Yemeni are sending clear message. We are not allowing our brother and sister, our children, to die in Gaza. Meanwhile, you are using the Red Sea to help the Israeli to reach all the goods toward Israel, and the United States as well using the Red Sea to form attacks as they did before against Yemen to support Israel. And as Trump said, he will support Israel with whatever it takes. But when Yemeni actually they are supporting the Palestinian people to stop the genocide, they are supporting Yemenis against the Palestinian people against the war criminals like the Minister of Defense of Israel, the former Minister of Defense, and as well their Prime Minister Netanyahu. He's a wanted man. He's a criminal on the run. That's why what Yemeni are doing actually is they are doing the right thing, and they will continue to do it. And what Israeli is doing, what the United States and other countries that support in Israel, they are trying to use humanitarian aid to have pressure on the Palestinian people. They want to set their prisoners of war free with those humanitarian aid. And I believe that Yemeni have as well now the upper hand. I think that they could act as well target any ship in the Persian Gulf. We know that the Israeli regime is avoiding to somehow the blockade in the Red Sea by sending their ships toward the United Arab Emirates, and then those goods is transported through United Arab Emirates by trucks, and then through Saudi Arabia, through Jordan, and to Palestine. I believe that at one point, Yemeni will target those ships either in the Persian Gulf or if they docked in any port of the United Arab Emirates, because they are not allowing anyone to try to avoid the blockade. They are not allowing anyone to help the Israeli regime to continue its war against the Palestinian people.
Thanks, Hussein. And, you know, Mr. Shot, you know, we don't really have to quote Bloomberg, do we? Because the proof is in the pudding. When we see the fact the U.S. and U.K. and a few of their friends have set up a coalition to protect Israeli-linked vessels, we see them attacking Yemeni soil, killing Yemenis, attacking Yemeni infrastructure. We know that the Yemeni operations are getting the Zionist attention, and significantly, rather.
Yes, indeed. And this was for over 15 months since we've seen the coalition, the United States of America, gathered in the Red Sea, was included many, many European players, and even supported by some Arabic reactionary regimes. Most of them left that coalition because they seen themselves. They couldn't face the Yemeni. And the Yemenis are not like the normal symmetrical war symmetrical layers the Americans or the Europeans facing. It's combined the asymmetrical and symmetrical warfare. So it's very hard for them to direct a precise kind of attack on the capabilities of the Yemenis. And most of the military strategic analysis, they said most of the attacks carried by the Zionist entity, which were done for show, to show big fires in Hodeidah or somewhere else, and the Americans, they didn't undermine the capabilities of the Yemenis. But the capability of the Yemenis people, the Yemenis armies, and the resistance in Yemen is there to control Bab al-Mandab, to affect the international trade, to make the international community even pay a price for allowing the genocide to continue in Gaza. Since why don't they just pay an attention when they see in Gaza the prices of food and fuel and medicine soaring, and the people are worried sick in case the bombardment return and the starvation return? So the Yemeni people are in touch with the situation in Gaza, and they want to show support and to deny anybody to inflict further pain and suffering on the Palestinian people. The Yemeni's position is very honorable, and the Yemeni's position is a manifestation of what the International Criminal Court and what the Court of Justice are requiring any players to do. And that's supposed to be saluted and beefed up by Arabic and Islamic states.
And I'm glad that Mr. Saad Hussein mentioned the Yemeni position here, because we also should speak about the Yemenis suspending their pro-Palestinian operations on the high seas with hitting occupied ports of Palestine, against hitting using hypersonic missiles to hit Tel Aviv, using drones to hit those occupied ports. They said with the ceasefire in Gaza, we will stop all these attacks in support of Palestinians, and they did. So did Iraqi resistance, so did Lebanese resistance with the welcoming of a ceasefire, as well as Palestinian resistance. The only serial violator of ceasefires here, to Mr. Schott's point, that's been dishonorable has been the Zionist entity.
Yeah, I mean, we've seen that the Zionists, what they have done as an example with the truce with Lebanon, they keep continue targeting Lebanon on a daily basis. They keep breaking this truce. I mean, this is exactly what they actually want to prove. They want actually to succeed in what they have failed during war. They want to succeed during this type of truce. And as you mentioned, when Yemeni have launched hypersonic missiles against Israel and Israeli ports as well in occupied Palestine, they have launched as well those hypersonic missiles against American ships and UK ships and as well Israeli-linked ships. And as the United States and other countries have said, it's the first time in history that the country used ballistic missiles, anti-ship ballistic missiles. And I believe actually that when after the 72 hours that's left for the Israeli regime to allow food and medicine to enter Gaza, I believe that Yemeni could surprise the Zionist state of Israel with much faster hypersonic missiles. They could as well be surprised with some kind of cluster warhead that have several warhead to attack Israeli regime. That's why Yemeni actually, they always give peace a chance. But if Israeli think that they will continue their genocide, they should actually learn from what the Saudi-led coalition and aggression against Yemen. Since 2015, Yemeni has been under attack. Saudi has conducted almost 300 airstrikes against Yemen with the full support from the United States, from UK and other countries, and as well with the support from the Israeli regime itself when that war was launched against Yemen. But what was the result? In the state of Yemeni being under attack and under blockade, they are the one now who have the upper hand, and they will form a blockade in the Red Sea. And if it's necessary, at one point, they will form that blockade against any country that have any kind of relation with the Zionist state of Israel.
And let me put that, I'm glad you mentioned that, because I want to put that as my final question to Mr. Saeb Shot there. The UN has estimated between 2015 and 2022, over 377,000 Yemenis died, over 60% of them indirect causes of that Saudi-led campaign, like food insecurity, lack of accessible health services. Now, Yemenis endured a crippling siege, famine-like conditions, cholera and other diseases, mass displacement, you very well know.
they're very justified to say, look, right now we cannot support our brothers in Gaza. We have to focus on our own reconstruction, our own rebuilding. But they have set this aside. Your final thoughts on what this says about the people of Yemen?
To start with, earlier this week, the U.S. President Donald Trump redesignated the Houthis as a terrorist organization. That is a message saying whatever being the United States of America with the Saudis' war of aggression on Yemen for the last over maybe from 2013 and beyond even that will continue. And the Yemen as a place as a have a genius geopolitical position. You see the maritime movement internationally controlled by Yemen. And the other thing, it's rich with its own resources. So the Saudis, the Emiratis, and the United States of America, and the Zionists as well, all looking at Yemen as a piece which they can loot, a piece of property, as Trump thinking. They want to loot. They want to deny the Yemenis people to the ability to be able to extract its own wealth. We've seen the sanction the Saudis impose on any international oil companies who go for exploring in Yemen. And the same thing goes to United Arab Emirates, who tried to loot Yemen and tried to defragment Yemen and tell their people, we the only one who can provide wealth and safety for you. Look at your neighbor, Yemen. They are poor. Even they have some wealth in there, but mismanagement. This is the message they want to do, and they want to appear. But at the end of the day, the whole target of that, which the Yemenis leadership understand, it's the incubation of Yemen, which they're trying to fulfill, to put Yemen under the hegemony of the United States of America and the Zionist entity. Since we know the Emiratis what try to do in Socotra's and in Aden port as well, bringing the Zionist entity over there. We know most of the forces who fought in Yemen, they were trained by the Zionist entity as well. Yemenis people are facing the Zionist entity before even the genocide in Gaza. It's all the plans and the design were there, deployed and advised and being counseled by the Zionist generals themselves. Saudi Arabia deployed so many generals and consultants of the Zionist entity. So it's one battle at the end of the day against Zionism and imperialism in the region.
Thank you both for joining us on the program. Stay safe to both of you, gentlemen. Mr. Hussein Al-Bukhaiti, there, activist and a political commentator, joining us from Sana'a.
Thank you.
Also Mr. Saeb Shoth, author and West Asia expert, joining us from Belfast. And this brings us to the end of your Spotlight program. Thank you for tuning in, and goodbye for now.
Surely there'll be some.
was done to them. Don't they know that God is with the oppressed and needy? He perished while the nations that rule through tyranny. Palestine, forever Palestine. Children of Palestine are fighting for our lives. They say to their parents, we know that Palestine is our right. They say to their parents, we'll fight for what is right. They say not to worry, God is on our side. They say we'll die for Palestine. Palestine, forever Palestine.
وَقَضَى رَبُّكَ أَلَّا تَعْبُدُوا إِلَّا
Your Lord has decreed that you shall not worship anyone except Him, and He has enjoined kindness to parents.
For humanity.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم In the name of Allah, the All-Compassionate, the All-Merciful, and may great peace and blessing be upon Prophet Muhammad and his household. Assalamu alaikum, my dear audience, brothers and sisters, and welcome back to the series of Talks for Humanity. This is Hamza Azizi talking with you about different characteristics of perfect human beings. Previously, we mentioned that one of the characteristics of perfect human beings and Ibadur Rahman is to keep moderation in spending wealth, whether spending wealth on charities or spending wealth in general for their own personal life. And we said both of these interpretations represent a kind of good characteristic. So both could be the correct meaning of the verse. And even we brought a verse of Quran for approving the general meaning of spending. So we talked about the significance of moderation. We said that in Islamic teachings, moderation is considered very significant in different teachings. To the extent that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala describes the Islamic Ummah as the mediated nation. وَكَذَلِكَ جَعَلْنَاكُمْ أُمَّةً وَسَطًا And then we quoted a very famous sentence from Aristotle about the criterion of a virtue. There is a narration from Amir al-Mu'mineen, Imam Ali, peace be upon him, regarding this issue, which is very helpful to understand the meaning, the true meaning of moderation. It's been narrated that Imam Ali, peace be upon him, had a companion named Ala ibn Ziyad. He was sick once upon a time, and he was taking rest in his own house. Once Imam went to his house to visit him when he was sick, Imam faced a very, very large house. So as soon as Imam sat next to him, He said, why have you chosen such large house for you, for yourself? Do you really need it? And then immediately Imam himself added that, okay, if you really use this large house in the true ways, even this large house could be a means of felicity for you. Because you can have many people as guests for yourself, you can visit your relatives, you can help other people in your house by inviting them and asking about their troubles. So at the same time that Imam was a kind of disapproving the act of buying such large house, he added that even this one could be a way to attract benefits of the hereafter. Then Ala mentioned to Imam Ali, peace be upon him, that I have a brother named Asim ibn Ziyad, and I want to make complaint about that, about him, because he has secluded himself from the ordinary life in the society, and he left everything and he went somewhere and claims and pretends to worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Imam was very furious and angry, and he called that brother. So this is exactly the part that we are going to connect that with our own issue. So let's continue this story after a short break. Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ali Muhammad ya muslimin sallu Allahumma salli ala Okay, welcome back, my dear audience, brothers and sisters, to the series of Talks for Humanity. This is Hamza Azizi. I've been telling you the story of Ala ibn Ziyad and his brother with Amir al-Mu'mineen. I said that as soon as Amir al-Mu'mineen visited Ala ibn Ziyad and talked with him, Ala mentioned that I have a brother named Asim ibn Ziyad, and he has secluded himself from the whole society, sitting in one specific place, maybe worshipping. He thought that this is the way he can worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala better and more sincerely. But Amir al-Mu'mineen mentioned to ask to call him to come and visit Imam Ali, peace be upon him. Once Imam faced Asim, Imam mentioned, Ya Udayya nafsihi, you are the enemy of your soul. لَقَدْ اسْتَهَامَ بِكَ الْخَبِيثِ, you are deceived, you are cheated by the devil. أَمَا رَحِمْتَ أَهْلَكَ وَوُلْدَكَ, don't you want to be merciful and kind to your family and to your children? أَتَى اللَّهُ أَحَلَّ لَكَ الطَّيِّبَاتِ, do you really think that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala permitted the halal things for you? Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala himself says in his holy book, أُحِلَّ لَكُمُ الطَّيِّبَاتِ, means that whatever is a good thing, good food or whatever, it is halal, permissible for you. أَتَرَى اللَّهُ أَحَلَّ لَكُ, do you really think that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala on one side permits for طيبات, and at the same time, on the other hand, وَهُوَ يَكْرَهُ أَن تَأْخُذَهَا, he doesn't like you to have any of these طيبات, any of these facilities, any of these joys. No, it's not logic. So Imam Ali, peace be upon him, wants to mention that you have to keep moderation in this regard. Even in the verse of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, when quoting about the supplication that some of the mu'mineen, some of the believers, they use in their prayers, the verse is this one, فَمِنَ النَّاسِ مَنْ يَقُولُ رَبَّنَا آتِنَا فِي الدُّنْيَا وَمَا لَهُ فِي الْآخِرَةِ مِنْ خَلَقٍ. There are some people who, when praying, they say among the people, there are those who say, our Lord, give us in this world But for such, there is no share in the hereafter. It means when they supplicating for the benefits of them, they only supplicate, they only ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala about having a good life in this universe. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that these people, ma lahu fil akhirati min khalaq, they do not have any share in the last, in the hereafter. And then he continues, this was a problematic image of a believer. Now he gives a logic and a good image of a mu'min. وَمِنْهُمْ مَنْ يَقُولُ رَبَّنَا آتِنَا فِي الدُّنْيَا حَسَنًا وَفِي الْآخِرَةِ حَسَنًا وَقِنَا عَذَابًا. And among them, there are those who say, our Lord, give us good in this world and give us good in the hereafter. وَقِنَا عَذَابَ النَّارِ, and save us from the punishment of the fire. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala admires, أُولَٰئِكَ لَهُمْ نَصِيبٌ مِمَّا كَسَبُوا وَاللَّهُ سَرِيعُ الْحِسَابِ. These people, such people, shall partake of what they have earned, and Allah is swift at reckoning. The same Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, who describes himself as Shadidul Iqab, the one who has a very strict punishment, he describes at this point about these mediated people, he describes himself as Sari'ul Hisab, means swift at reckoning. Inshallah, we will continue the other characteristics in the next episode. Thank you. Alhamdulillah, Rabbil Alameen.
Jannah, Jannah, it's all I ever wish for. This life is not eternal, but the next will last forever. Jannah, Jannah, it's all I ever wish for. Oh God, please don't deprive me a blissful life eternally. One day all my deeds will be shown in front of you, and no one will be beside me. I'll be standing on my own. Blessing me with your mercy is all I'm hoping for. Oh Allah, make my wishes come true.
A diverse range of programs. Spirituality. Youth. Eastern Tales. Roundtable discussions. Culture. Politics. All produced by IRIB English Radio.
Ramadan, month of God's banquet. In the name of God, salam and welcome to the program. The blessed month of Ramadan is like a rainfall on a dry desert. It is an exceptional opportunity to saturate the parched desert of our soul with this enlivening rainfall. Ramadan is the time to get rid of the hustle and bustle of everyday life and join the infinite mercy of God. Here we start our special series on the occasion of the blessed month of Ramadan. Let us first listen to Ayah 185 of Surah Baqarah. The month of Ramadan is the one in which the Quran was sent down as guidance to mankind with manifest proofs of guidance and a criterion. Ramadan has provided the best chance for getting close to God and benefiting from His mercy. It is the month of prayer, supplication, and getting close to the Quran. Stay with us for the 9th episode of this series. There are two opposite currents in life which either guide humans to perfection or mislead them to decadence. God has bestowed capacities and abilities to every individual which guide them to the climax of perfection. There is a tendency towards good deeds in all of us, but big obstacles keep us away from this clear and straight path. Sins obstruct human intellect and make him unable to sieve good from evil and right from wrong. Sins have negative effect not only on the individual's spirit, but also on social relations. Many social problems stem from defiance of the divine commandments. The renowned Iranian poet Maulana Jalaluddin Balkhi, otherwise known as Rumi, refers to this issue in an admonishing parable. His parable reads, "There was a man who used to go to the desert to gather thorns and sticks to make a livelihood. Once he thought, 'Why should I bother going to the desert?' So he decided to plant thorns in front of his house. After a while, the thorns grew and hurt the men, women, and children who would pass by. People were disturbed at the thorny shrubs and reprimanded him to dig out the thorny shrubs. He didn't care about their words and kept postponing their demand. One day, the sage of the city told him, 'Know that the roots of the thorns are getting stronger and thicker while you are getting older and weaker.' This parable reminds us that we have the opportunity to purify our souls from sins and evil characteristics as long as we are young. But as the time passes, evil characteristics take root in our soul, and it becomes very difficult to eradicate them." Among the consequences of sins are decrease of blessings and increase of miseries. The Noble Quran clearly says that as long as human beings do not abuse blessings or don't waste them, God will continue bestowing them. But if they use them in the wrong way or waste them extravagantly, God deprives them from those blessings so that they may repent. A man asked Imam Ali, peace be upon him, to help him in drought. Imam Ali told him to seek forgiveness with God. Another man came to Imam Ali and complained of poverty. The commander of the faithful told him to seek forgiveness too. One of the companions who had witnessed the sins asked Imam Ali, peace be upon him, "Why did you tell both of them to seek forgiveness?" Imam Ali answered, "This is the divine word. The Prophet Hud tells his people in Ayah 52 of Surah Hud, 'O my people, plead with your Lord for forgiveness, then turn to him penitently. He will send you copious rains from the sky and add power to your power. So do not turn your backs on him as guilty ones.'" Another consequence of sin is that human heart becomes hard as a stone. Those who are plunged in sins lose inner calm and relation with God.
sins take away the spirit of humbleness from the individual. However, some sinners have wakeful conscience and feel a heavy burden when they commit a sin. This spiritual pressure indicates that there is hope for penitence. Islam says that the best way for salvation from the consequences of sins is to repent. Imam Ali, peace be upon him, says, "Do not be like the one who wishes happiness in the hereafter, but does not make effort. Do not be among those who move in the wrong way, and they should return but delay this decision. Do not be among those who like the righteous, while do not act like them, and dislike sinners, while they are one of them in practice." These words of Imam Ali, peace be upon him, remind of the fact that good wishes will not lead us anywhere unless with practice and effort. Let us recite together the prayer for the ninth day of the blessed month of Ramadan. O Allah, grant me on this day a share from your widespread mercy, and guide me on this day towards your shining proofs, and lead me to your all-encompassing pleasure, by your love, O the hope of the enthusiasts. In this prayer, we plead to God to help us enjoy a share of His mercy, which is spread everywhere. God has bestowed His mercy upon all creatures, but He has granted His pure and righteous servants with His special mercy. Here we also ask God to show us clear proofs in the path of guidance, so that we constantly move in the path of His pleasure. In the end of this episode, let us recite the prayer which we end the program with. O Allah, indeed, I ask You the best of what You are asked, so give me the best of what You give.